think on this thought for 2018 and every day. It's not just this year. It's every year, every day. They will know we are Christians by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. And I'm just thankful to God because he's just been doing this thing. I can't create it. I can't orchestrate or ask somebody that every time we have a testimony, something gets said during the testimony period that what points to the word that God has. And Sister Jackie, thank you for listening to the Spirit, because it talked about what the word that we have to speak. And it was you today and it's others different days. But thank you. We've got to speak the word of God. And they know we are Christians By our love. And I don't know if any of y'all remember that back in the 70s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, that was a very popular song. And I had to go out and just, you know, as I often do, the Lord sends me back. And it took me way back. And I found a version by Walt Whitman, and I found a version by all kind of artists. But then he led me to the one by the Soul Children of Chicago. And I said, thank you, Lord God. Why this version, Lord God? Why this version, Lord God? Because in this version, as I sat there and listened to it, it showed me the promise of God. Well, and when we look around the world today and we look at our societies, we miss the promise of God. When we think about our communities, we think about the doom and the gloom. When we think about Chicago, what do y'all think about? All the murders and the kids and the devastation. When we think about Detroit, or we think about Hoffman versus Schomburg, we think about all the devastation. That's it. When we think about our government, oh, don't say that word. Don't talk about the government. We think about the person we don't like or the person we like, and there's all this chaos and confusion. Okay, but God says, what? Speak my word. Amen. And because we have to speak the word, we can't speak against somebody. Amen. We need to be speaking hope and not dealing with the hopelessness. But today we're in that mindset around us. Everybody's looking at the futility and nobody's looking at the hope. And y'all know we've been studying the book of John, right? Everything in the book of John points to who? The Father. Jesus didn't say point to myself. He said point to the Father. And I took the pose from Hussein and said to the Father. Not about me being them, but what? To the Father. So today, they will know we are Christians by our love. They will know we are Christians by the love that we speak. They will know we are Christians by the way we walk and by the way we talk and the things we share and the things we what don't get involved with. Now, I've just got to ask the question before I get to analyzing this word. How many of us have not been living to that standard? Hallelujah. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. Why? I'm not saying that you bad because you do that. I haven't been living to it either. Because every time I criticize or ridicule, or every time I don't ridicule, but I don't stand up to say we need to stop that, I'm what? Accepting it. I'm sick and tired, and God is totally not happy with everybody getting caught up about what the president is doing. We've made him our president, even though we don't like the president. And I don't care what president it is. You can go back over 100 years, and every president, the same thing somewhere gets done. Oh, but this one is the worst. No, he ain't the worst. He's just doing whatever he thinks to do. Our Savior and our president, our God, ain't changed. He's still the same God he was yesterday. He's still the same God that brought us through the Red Sea. Pharaoh was worse than President Trump, and he still what brought us out of Egypt, right? So why are we so enamored with that and not speaking what God wants us to speak? Y'all understand we're talking about this battlefield, right? The enemy distracts us. So because of these things, and we get, oh, woe is me, we're not doing what thus saith the Lord. That ain't new, though, is it? We in Bible country, aren't you? What? When Jesus was with the disciples, right? What did Jesus do? He stayed the course. What did the disciples do? They heeded the teaching, but when trouble came. Anybody know that to be the truth? Peter was what? Walking on water. Lord, if it's you, come to me. I'm walking on water. Why would I allow anything to take that away? I don't know about you, but if I'm walking on water, something I've never done, you can bring the stoke all day long. I'm walking, baby. You just got to get me. But I'm walking. But look at what we do. We get distracted. So because we're distracted, now this is the tough part. There's an appointment we have with somebody that doesn't get kept. And if we don't keep that appointment with who we're supposed to keep it with, their life's in trouble. There's devastation, there's pain, there's misery, there's sorrow that they won't be delivered from because we didn't show up with the word of God that would draw them out of that. Now, you might say, well, somebody else will come along. Yeah, but look, that just meant they suffered a little longer because we weren't at the place we needed to be to do the things we needed to do. Y'all understand that? God has a specific plan, and it's a perfect plan. And because he has a plan and it's perfect, when we walk in obedience to it, things happen. When we step back, turn away, and go our own way, it just delays what the inevitable is going to be. God is still going to save them. I get that. I believe that, but that's no excuse to allow them to suffer longer because I refuse to do what I'm supposed to do. That's the power that we have. That's what we learned in Sunday school. Daniel, a slave boy, was taken over, but in the midst of that, he said, look, change my name. I don't care because that name does not define me. But my God defines me, but what? You asking me now to defy my God and eat that meat and that wine? I'm not going to do it. But God had gone before him, what? He found favor with what? The jailer. Jailer said, wait a minute. You asking me to put my neck on the line for somebody I'm over to do something that you know the king said you need to do. If I don't do this, the king will take my head. He will kill me. Daniel said, but look. Just do it for 10 days. Just 10 days. If you do it for 10 days, then look and see. And what happened? Y'all know the rest of the story. 10 days later, nobody looked better than Daniel, Meshach, and Abednego. Nobody looked better than them. In 10 days, they could not find a peer close to them. They were on Hollywood, y'all. They won Mr. America, Mrs. America. They won every beauty pageant that was ever. And they stood there with radiance in their soul. And they did not eat the meat and they did not drink the wine. For us today, we do not have to do what the world is doing because they're doing it. We need to do what God is doing and watch how we'll rise above. Amen. We'll rise above it. We'll rise above it. I wish that some of those who believe in the body of Christ that are in the government would rise above the fear that they're walking in because they can rise above and be who God told them to be and watch this stuff cease. Amen. But they're scared. It's a natural emotion. They scared, but for us today, said so they will know. Schaumburg, Hoffman Estates, wherever you live, Elgin, Lake in the Hill, Chicago, whatever community you live in, whatever company you work for, Zurich, Allstate, Office Depot, any company, whatever you, they will know that you are Christians, what? By our love. By our love, and it's in the word, it's in the word. Look at the purpose. The first point today is the purpose of our transformation. The purpose of our transformation. First question I got, how many of you have been transformed? You know Jesus. All right, that means you've accepted Jesus, that you know he died for you, he rose for you, and what? He's given all power unto you, right? He said what? He sent the Spirit to come, what? To guide, teach, and direct you into all things. He's given you the power that he had himself. Y'all believe that? Amen. Y'all ain't raising hands that time. Okay, so y'all still a little bit in doubt? It hasn't manifested itself yet? I just want to know if I'm in the right place, because if you believe it and you declare it, then there's some things that you're going to accept. If you don't believe it yet, that's okay. I know God's got patience, but we need to understand, today we can't be afraid of what God has done with us, because the world is scaring us and not doing what we ought to be doing. He said what? The purpose of our transformation. It's right there in the first few verses. Look at it. Thank you, Sister Mary said, if ye be been risen with Christ, do what? Seek those things which what? Are above. Not the things below, not the things of the earth. Don't seek approval from the president or the government. Don't seek them for what you need in your household. Don't seek them to educate your children. Don't seek them to pay your bills. Don't seek them to heal your body. Don't seek them to give you a little extracurricular activity by approving marijuana and allowing you to drink and do all these other. Don't seek them to tell you how to run your household. Don't seek them to tell you how to live your life. What? Seek what? Things from above. God has already laid out a plan of how we should live. Don't let them tell you you got to hate this person and that person because of the political party they in. It ain't got nothing to do with political party. God is neutral on all that stuff. That's the thing of the world. That is not the thing of heaven. Whosoever will what? Let him come. Whosoever will, mean Republican, Democrat, unattached, anybody, let him come. Do you not realize that today some of us, and I ain't talking about nobody in here, will not talk to the Republican because that's who they are, or not talk to the Democrat because our views differ. And so all of a sudden, instead of talking about God, we're talking about those liberal Christians or those conservative Christians. God didn't put that label on no Christian. If you're a Christian, you believe in me. Follow me, not follow them. But yet, go somewhere and say, I believe the Bible says no abortion. You one of those. I believe the Bible says care for the poor. You one of those. And so instead of us coming together in unity and seeking the word of God, we are running sideways. Or can I take y'all back? And maybe none of y'all had this. But I used to get up in the middle of the night in the house that I grew up, and I would turn on the light and the roaches would run. Y'all might not know nothing about that. That was my house, okay? So we turned the light on in the middle of the night. We went in with shoes because you ain't taking over my house. So you might be in here. You might, but you couldn't have what I got. I'm going to get rid of you. And every now and then, Daddy would get a little extra money, and he'd put some stuff around. But until he got the money, turn on the light, we were doing a holy dance on the roaches. Y'all laugh, but that was real. I know folks who say, I got a roach in my house, I got to go. I ain't staying in there. I ain't never knew that, but that was a fact. Can I tell y'all, go to Hawaii. Go to the richest houses in Florida. They are part of the atmosphere. They let the lizards run, what, to get the roaches. So if you don't like a roach and you definitely don't like a lizard, you in trouble. Go to Florida, stay at the Marriott. Sister Rogers couldn't even see them. Lizards all over the place. They blend in with the foliage. Why? They let them stay because they kill the roaches, so people are happy in their rooms. Amen. That's God's nature. But guess what? His nature for us is to let people know that what? We are Christians by what? Our love. Not by our fear, not by our doubt. It says what? Set those things on things above, which what? Are above. Where what? Now look at this. They're above where who sits? Christ sitteth. So I said, well, okay, yeah, Christ is up there. What about that? Do you know what Christ conquered to be able to sit there? Let's go back to why we're here today. We go, what? Christ came down from heaven, from his perch, what? And he died. He allowed them to kill him. They allowed him to bury him. And what? He got up that he could go, what? Back to the Father and take his place. Now, there's something that happened because he sitteth there. Anybody who believes in him is now covered. Hallelujah. And it's in this word. We're covered, right? Let me read on so I can get you there. On the right hand of God, set your affections. Set means the focus. Make sure that's the only thing. What are those affections? Affection is the thing you love the most. Uh-oh. Bible says there's a blessing and a curse, right? Your affection is a blessing and a curse. Your affection is a blessing if you give it over to God to control. Your affection is a curse if you do the things you want to do. Oh, y'all don't believe me. Guess what? I want a new suit. And I don't care what it costs. I'm going to get a new suit. And I spend money I don't have to get that new suit because that's what I want. Now, all the things that the money should have gone to can't get covered. Oh, y'all don't understand me. Let me make that closer to home. When we walk to and fro every day, if we're supposed to walk in love and we don't speak to somebody or we frown at somebody or we rrr at somebody, guess what? How is that showing somebody that we love somebody? Because our affection, if God is love, definitely ain't then. Because if God is love and we're growling, then something's going wrong. There's a disconnect. I heard one preacher say, when all that happened, there was a lightning bolt. It's a temporary separation. He was describing sin from a weather perspective. He said, what happens when you sin? The lightning came down and disconnected your connection for just that moment. So you did what you wanted, then you got reconnected. The effect is the same. You still were addicted. Set your affection on things above, not on what? Things of the earth. And then verse 3 says, for ye are dead, and your life, what? Is hid. With Christ and God. Now, I want to tell you about what this word hid means. It's the crop in the Greek. It means to conceal properly by covering. Ooh, look at God. He said, what? You, what your life is hid. The real you, the angry you, the vicious you, the you that what? Is that works for self-preservation is hid, what? By the covering of the blood in Christ. So all that you might have done, or all that you did before you met Christ, or all that you do when you want to what? Set your affection on something other than Christ, gets hid because Christ sits at the right hand of the Father and covers you. Yeah, Aaron? Yeah, Aaron. Well, you know it, but they don't know it. The world don't know it. So guess what? You need to tell the world that's hopeless that guess what? Christ came to hide you, to cover up your frailty and your failures, what? In the blood of Jesus, and that's how much he loves you. He's willing to say, I'll cover you. I'll pay the price. I've done that. I'll what? Take the beating. I'll take the whipping. I'll take the humility. What? Because I'm covering you. So we get hid. And guess what? The world needs to know that. Don't you think some of these kids in Chicago and everywhere else that are going through, they need to know that God covers them? Amen. Amen. I've been praying for a man in Elgin who's been just trying to do the right thing. All he wants to do is provide a place for the homeless to sleep. He'd been trying to let them in his house, and trying to put them over here. And he said, well, they can come in my basement. He opened up his house to put cots in his basement to let those who are homeless come in and sleep when the shelters aren't open. And do you know what keeps happening? They keep telling you in violation of this, you ain't got the right number of exits. You ain't got the right fire alarm. You got too many people. And all he wanted to do was show the love to them. But let me tell you what's really happening now. Because he is willing to do that, these homeless people now are encouraged because guess what? Once somebody stood up to say, I care about you and I'll fight till I got no more fight. What? That you might have a way to have some heat, that you might have a way to know. But more than anything, he shared the love of Christ with him. That my God is taking care of you. Yo, you might not be here today, but guess what? Somebody got to step up now because you were willing to be a sacrifice and make a way for somebody to have a place to stay. Do you not know today that this world is crying out to know God loves them? This world is crying out to know that there's more than this political mess, this world. But that's the transformation that's in us. That's in us. Your life is hid with Christ. Your life is not your own. Okay? I'm just going to point blank. Your life, once you give it to Christ, is not your own. We think it is. I want it to be my own. I can do what I want to do. Yes, you can. But when you accepted the precious gift, you gave up your independence. Now, can I tell you why you gave it up? Because you wanted more victories than failures. Can I be real? You wanted more deliveries than what? More failures, right? I didn't want to be a failure all my life. I didn't want to be out there and going to hell. I didn't want to have to suffer all these things. I wanted to know that God, thank you, Lord, I can make a difference in this world. I can difference going because of you. I'm not just going to sit on my rusty dusty and do nothing, but God, because you saved me, you took me away from that craziness I was in. Amen. I say thank you, Lord. You don't have to just listen to Colossians. Next slide, Sister Beverly. Go to 1 John 4:1. It says what? Beloved, believe not every spirit, but what? Try the spirits whether they are of God. Because all many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, can I go back to Colossians 3:3? One of the things, the reason we want to be here with Christ means we got to be intimate with Christ. So if we get intimate with Christ, and intimate don't mean, well, I know who you are. I mean, no, I really know who you are. Okay? That's what the marriage ceremony represents. You don't just know your name and know where you came from. You get intimate with that person. I ain't talking about sex, y'all. I'm talking about an intimacy where you know every little thing about that person. Before you got married, what? You closed the bathroom door. Now that you're married, you'll leave the door open. And don't y'all laugh at me because I know it's right in somebody's houses. Before what? You wouldn't walk in the nighttime what? With nothing on. I got to get all covered up. But now that you're married, hey, everything's okay. And I talk fast, y'all think fast. But before, you can't get that intimate if you don't get married to the person. You can't get that intimate with God if you don't marry yourself to God. You don't know who God is. You know a few things. Oh, these are the highlights. Okay, but the highlights just draw you. But when you get intimate with God, he begins to hide you and cover you and show you more and more and more of how much he loves us. And that means we got to go share it with somebody. You know, I think about children. Children know their parents support them. It's the first one they sort of run against when they get older, right? But you know what motivates a lot of children? When somebody else embraces them. Somebody else says, oh, you know, baby, you're doing a good job. I love you. I encourage you. I'm going to sacrifice and come see you play. I'm going to sacrifice and talk to you. I'm going to sacrifice and be with you. Why? Because I love you. And when they others show up, you would go, ooh, I must be doing all right. Thank you, God. I get excited. So we get hit with Christ. But John says here, let me finish. He said, but try the spirits, what? Where they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone into the world. Ye are of God, little children. And have what? Overcome them, because greater is he what? That is in you than he is in the world. So for us today, the reason we got to what? Let them know that we are Christians by love, because guess what? God is greater in us than what? He is, than the world is. So I ain't afraid of the president. I ain't afraid of politics. I ain't afraid of corporate America. I ain't afraid of the neighbor who don't believe in Jesus, because guess what? Greater is he that is in me than is in the world. You in the world, because you don't know Jesus. You can't do nothing. You can't handle this. Let me tell you, I'm going to let my light shine. I'm going to tell you the truth, and when you get ready, come on with. But if you don't get ready, shame on you, because I got a secret for you. If you don't accept Jesus, I know where you're going. And guess what? My God already conquered that. He done already took care of hell, and I ain't going there. But I got to let you know. So talk about me if you want to. I don't care. I'm going to keep smiling. Talk about me, ridicule, fire me, get rid of me, get selfish, get greedy. I don't care, because guess what? My God will supply all my needs. What? According to his riches and glory. And you know something? This makes me know that it's true, because he has hid me. He's covered my sin. He's covered my shortcomings. He's covered my doubt. He's covered my fear. Thank you, Lord God. The word says, well, I shall not die, but live and what? Declare the works of the Lord. That was written in the Psalms before Jesus got here. That's what proved that what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. Because he wrote about himself in the Psalms before he came to heaven, came down to earth. Look at God. Look at God. He goes on to say, here what? He said then in verse 7, beloved, here's that admonition to us. Let us what? Love one another. What? For love is of God. And everyone, what? That loveth is born of God and knoweth God. You know God? Yeah. Y'all know God? Yeah. So what do you got to do? You got to love somebody. That means what? I got to tell you the truth. That means what? I got to walk with you and talk with you. That means what? No matter what you say and how much you piss me off and tick me off, I ain't going to talk about you. So today, when you go home, let the political mess rest. We need to be involved. We need to understand. But guess what? We don't need to talk about it. We need to do something and love one another. Because I'm just convinced, and I just mean, it may not be you, if I had the chance to sit down with President Trump or the Vice President Mike Pence, I ain't got to talk politics at all. I'm just going to talk about Jesus. And I just believe that if I talk about Jesus, if Jesus is in them, it's going to make somebody cry. If Jesus is in them, it's going to make them stop to think. If Jesus is in them and they can be my brother, you might not be acting on it, but when you come face to face with the truth of the word, you got to change. So we going about this thing the wrong way. Writing books and getting mad. Every time we get mad about it, we miss what God has for us to do. Oh, I'm mad. I'm driving that street and there was somebody I was supposed to minister to. Went on by. My mind preoccupied. And that's what's happening to our world today. We're preoccupied with stuff and not with God. But what? They will know we are Christians by our love. And by our love, by our love. Point number two. Next slide. Thank you, Sister Beverly. The songwriter, when she wrote the song, "We Are," they'll know we are Christians by our love. The first line says, we are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And they will know that we are Christians, what? By our love, by our love. So we have to understand, they will know us. They will know us by the love that's in us. There will be something different about us. We do make a difference. Second point today is we need to be leading by example. Uh-oh. I don't know about you, but this becomes a challenge sometime. This become a challenge sometime. But as we learned in the book yesterday, is it impossible? No. Is it difficult? Yes, but when we walk with God, it ain't even difficult. That's what made it's an oxymoron, but it's a good thing, right? It's a good thing. Well, look at what the word said, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ do what? Dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Uh-oh, what the word of Christ, we know what the word of Christ is. Well, what? The word of Christ is Christ, and it's whatever he's spoken. It's in the word of the Bible, right? That's the word of Christ. But it says what? Let it dwell. Understand what dwell means. In the Greek, it's enokio. Enokio, it means to inhabit. Let the word of Christ, let God himself and his spirit inhabit. Okay, first we said he was going to hide us, right? He's going to cover us. Now he said what? I want to get intimate, so I'm going to inhabit. That means I'm going to come in into your body. I'm going to go to the center of your heart, and I'm going to take control of everything about you. Let it inhabit you. So that when it inhabits us, guess what? Then we ain't operating on our own. If God is inhabiting me, I am somebody. If God is inhabiting me, I can speak to the enemy and say, be removed. I can speak to sickness and say, be removed. I can speak to doubt and say, be removed. If God is inhabiting me, so God himself is taking control of me, you can't do nothing to me. I don't need to walk around like I'm nobody. I walk like Jesus walked. Jesus didn't run and hide from nobody. He walked boldly. When God said, don't go there yet, he didn't run and hide and not show up. He went another direction and still showed up at the temple. His brother said, you need to be seen. He said, not like that. But he still showed up at the temple. He still what? Spoke the word of God. We need to still show up. We're not showing up where we need to be. People, we get in conversation. It's all doom and gloom. We have this man and this woman. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. So many murder schools ain't got this. They ain't got that. I don't know. This world's going to heck in a handbasket. Come on, Jesus, and get me. God ain't coming to get you yet because you ain't done what you're supposed to do. We don't live doom and gloom. When I was young and didn't have no money and didn't have no food, it still wasn't doom and gloom. When daddy came home from work, daddy said, there's the food. Oh, there's the food. You need to eat whatever we got so you can sustain yourself until we get better. We don't, today, we got all kind of good. Okay, we got all kind of good. We got all kind of good. Let me tell you, the other day I sat down and I did it just because I needed to remember. I bought a little can of tuna fish, y'all, pre-made. I didn't even have to mix it up. And I said, I'm just going to eat this tuna fish because I remember when my daddy used to come home and it was the Bumblebee brand and he used to mix it up and put relish in it, say, here's a few crackers, say, that's what we got to eat today. And you didn't want to take tuna fish to school because it would stink. You be sitting at the table, everybody else got bologna or ham or something different, and you got tuna fish which was stinking, then your breath was going to smell because we didn't have no chewing gum. We couldn't brush our teeth at school, and folks would just, man, you had that tuna fish today. How you eat that stuff? My belly full. That's how I eat it. My daddy gave it to me. But then daddy always had something special for us. We didn't have a whole lot of food, but I never went to school in my lunch bag and didn't have a cookie or a donut. Amen. You know why? Because that's my dad's affection. He loved his sweets, and he said, guess what? I'm going to bless you. And everybody else didn't have it. They, can I get a piece of your cookie? No, my tuna fish stink. Can I get a piece of your cupcake? No, my tuna stink. This is mine. My daddy made me feel special. Because of what he provided. Do you not know that's what God is doing for you? He makes you feel special because he hides you. He covers you. Now he indwells you. And because he indwells you, he gets you through all the pain and all the suffering and all the doubt. Why? Because he wants you to tell the world, my God loves me. My father loves me. My daddy loves me. He's made a way. And I don't even have to do nothing but say, thank you, God. Lord, I believe. Thank you, Father, for one more day. And all he wants us to do, the world will know. We are Christians, what? By his love. But there's something else in this 16th verse, and we need to really get this one. It says what? He will dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And now the wisdom comes what? Teaching and admonishing one another in what? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Well, I got to tell you about this admonishing because we missed the mark on this one. We think admonishing, you didn't do this. No, that's not what he's talking about. It says what? It's the neotho here. It says, to put in mind, to caution, to reprove gently. Oh, thank you, Jesus. When I fall short of you, you don't pin the hammer down on me. Oh, God, you don't even whip me like my daddy used to do. But you say, my son, Come on home. My son, you see, I love you so much. I paid the price, and you know, I've given you strength, and you don't have to fall to that no more. Come on home and leave that alone. I stand here. Just come and follow me. Just follow. You ain't got to do nothing. Just take me. Matter of fact, you ain't got to follow me. Just let me take control. So now when I direct your steps, you're going to admonish me what? To go to the right place. And when I want to go to wrong, you can say, come on, son, just turn around. Just turn around and follow me. I'll take you where you want to be. We get it wrong. We want to chastise everybody. But God said, admonish gently. Why? Because that's love. Oh, but I got it right. I raised these children. I done took care of these children. No, 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 you don't have a right. Well, I got it right. I'm new. I've been here for so long in this church. I know the way around. But guess what? You don't know everything, because if you knew everything, you wouldn't be in the same place you've been for the last 50 years and not doing what God told you to do. But when the church stands up in love, when the church stands up and reaches out to people, when the church stands up, whosoever will, let them come. I don't care what they dress like. I don't care if they look like they were partying all night. That don't make a difference. Get them in here and love the love. Let them learn the love of God. God will change that. We don't want to do it because they don't look like us. We don't want to do it because they don't dress like us. We don't want to do it because they don't talk like us. Well, guess what? Maybe we're not talking right. Maybe we ain't even dressing right. Maybe we dress right, God wants us to be that way, but we do it the wrong way. Because God said what? He loves them. Whoever he loves, what he draws. So it said admonishing them. And it also says before admonishing, it said teaching. So you got to teach somebody if they don't know. So we got to make what? Have a relationship. Oh, let me go to school. Let me go to school. The best teachers that I ever had were the teachers who not just knew the knowledge, but showed that they cared for me. I don't care what level of school it was. When you as a professor or a teacher showed me that you genuinely cared for me, that I learned what you were teaching, I desired to put more into it. Now, somebody said, well, I got too many kids. I got too much to do. Wrong. If this is your profession, everybody that walks in that room should feel that you care about their learning. And if you care about their learning, they'll give you more. Now, let's fast forward that to the church. We as Christians are what? Supposed to love everybody. Jesus said, whosoever will, let them come. Jesus and us, we're supposed to be like him. Then we should make everybody that we come in contact with feel that God loves them and we care about them, whether we agree with what they're doing or not. That's why I can declare that if I met President Trump, I ain't worried about his politics. I'm going to let him know God loves you. Amen. And the only reason I'm here is what? To share the love of Jesus. Well, what do you think about this? Well, you know, let me pray, but God has all these controls. But what I do know is God wants everybody to feel his love. So I'm just letting his love show no matter where I go, how I do it. And because of that, then I can teach and I can admonish gently. Because whom the Lord loves, he chastens, right? But he don't chasten as if he was a stranger. Okay? That's how God wants us to do. So he said what? Teaching and admonishing. And then he said what? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with what? Grace. Oh, no, what? Grace what? The whole phrase. Grace in your hearts to the Lord. It ain't singing because you got a good voice. There are a whole lot of folks who sing with good voice. They ain't got no grace in their heart. They just performing. I know I'm right about it. But when you got grace in your heart, you can sound like a frog, like I do, and folks who feel the love of Jesus. I am not admonished that I'm a singer. But when I'm singing with the joy of Jesus, if you get around me long enough and I'm singing, you're going to want to sing too. You're going to want to say, well, I'm going to shut him up because I got a better voice, but that's all right. We still going to sing. Hallelujah. So with the grace in our heart. Now, let me go back to that word, right? He what? He hides us. He covers us. Then he says he indwells us. So if he's indwelling us, guess where the grace is? It's in our heart. That's the teaching of the God. We need to understand that because God loved us so much, he hides us, he indwells us, so the grace is natural if we let it flow. Now, if we don't let it flow, we're trying to hurt our heart. Anybody ever tried to stop the blood from pumping in your heart? Oh, y'all don't want to admit it. Go out and eat a 36-ounce steak and watch. That heart's going to go, wait a minute, I can't handle all of this. ask Daniel, right? Daniel said, I ain't eating the meat and the wine. I got to eat what I know. That's a joke, y'all. That's a joke, y'all. In case you don't believe me, let's go to John. Next slide, Sister Beverly. John 7 and 15 said, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus ain't never been to school. Jesus answered him and said, my doctrine is not mine, but him, what? His that sent me. My doctrine is not mine. I got it from the Father. We need to understand our doctrine is not earth. It's not what we learn in school. It comes from the Father. We need to follow the example of Jesus. Quit thinking what we've learned up here and let the heart where Jesus resides speak for us. That's what he told him. Said, if any man will do his will, he shall what? Know the doctrine, whether it be from God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. And there's a lot of glory seeking. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, all the same is true. And no unrighteousness is in him. When you speak the word of God, you ain't got to worry about being wrong. When you speak the word of God, don't be fearful and worry about being wrong because it comes from Jesus. And if it comes from Jesus, it's right on time. So we need to understand what? We got to lead by example, not follow after they're gone. There are a lot of folks who want to know the love of Jesus. And sometimes we mess up. Sometimes we forget names. Sometimes we forget people. Sometimes we refuse to do what God wants us to do. But guess what? If our heart's desire is to do God's will, that's what I'm thankful for. Because just like David, his heart desire was to love God. So even though David sinned after sin after sin, God still said what? He's a man after what? My own heart. Why? Because God hid himself and covered David. He was hid inside of David, so he knew what was in his heart. What? Because he was there. So with us, we need to do the same thing. Quit judging one another. Quit talking about one another. Quit trying to hypothesize about this, that, or the other and make us seem better. Just know that God is in me, and because God is in me, he'll speak through me. And because he speaks through me, things will happen. Amen. That's why we keep hearing testimony after testimony. That's why we keep getting deliverance. That's why we're making a difference in the world. Because every day we purpose to let God have his way. They know we are Christians, what? By our love. That's the third point. They know that we are Christians, what? By our love. By our love. And that's what verse 17 says. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do what? All in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks, what? To God and the Father by him. Look at what people go through when they struggle. I'm just going to the word of God. There was a woman who had some coins, right? She had 10 coins, right? Found 9. But she wasn't at peace until she what? Found that one lost coin. Why? Because that completed the set. There was a son, right? That son got full of himself. Daddy, give me all that belonged. Nothing belonged to him, number one, because what? The daddy was still alive. You didn't get anything till daddy was dead, but daddy loved him so much. He loved him like Christ loved us. So he said, what? I love you so much, I'm going to have let you have it now, ahead of time. So that boy went and did his thing. And then when he what? When he lost all that he had, and he was what? In the hog pen of life. Now understand, we say, oh yeah, he was just down on his luck. No, he was in a place that he had lived his whole life never to be. I will never touch pork, just like Daniel. I'm not eating that meat, okay? So that goes back to history. I'm not going to touch this, but yet I'm going to feed this. Some of us have been to the hog pen of life. Might not look like a hog pen. We've not been shoveling slop, but we've been so depressed, so down, so unbelieving, so untrusting that we didn't think anything we do was going to make a difference. Suicide, but that's where that happens, because you don't think nothing matters, because you don't know that God loves you. You don't know that this is where we're supposed to be, and we, the body of Christ, aren't doing that. But look at what he said. When he came to himself, he didn't say, I can go back to my daddy. He said, I have sinned against who? God. Somebody had to tell him about God. Somebody had shared the good news about God for him to know I've sinned against God. The world could live in sin, but until they recognize that they have sinned against God, they can't come to themselves. So guess what? That's why we got to share the good news. Now, this good news has to be hid in them, right? Why? Because if they think they have sinned against God and that God won't forgive them, they're done. They have no hope. But if they know based on our testimony and our sharing the word, that you can be so far away from God, you can do the most despicable thing, but if you confess your sin before God, accept him as your Savior, God said, well, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you, then there's hope. That's why the world will know that we're Christians, what? By our love. We're not going to condemn you. We're not going to throw you to the wolves. But go back to Colossians. I need to understand back up to the verses 12 through 14, 15, to show you what God was talking about. He says what in Colossians 3 and 12? Put on, therefore, the elect of God, holy and beloved, what? Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing. Uh-oh, there go the fruits of the Spirit, right? Look, he said, you got to put on these things and share the good news with somebody. So in other words, you got to love somebody to do this. You can't do this by yourself. If I didn't love Jesus, you slap me, I'm slapping you back. Okay, if I didn't know Jesus, you talk about me, I'm talking about you back. If I didn't know Jesus, I'm shutting my door in your face when you knock on my door. But because of Jesus, he said, what? I'll put on what? The bowels of mercy. The mercy, what? Your grace and mercy who brought me through, God did that. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but you think about it. Is there anybody in your life that you have not forgiven? Don't raise your hand, don't say that, but just think about it. And if there's somebody in your life that you know that you have not forgiven, get in a hurry to forgive them. Get in a hurry to forgive them. So forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, what? So also do ye to them. And above all these things, look at what he says, put on charity. Oh, I can read 1 Corinthians 13 and talk about the charity chapter, the love chapter, and how we go. We talk about it when we get married, but then we soon forget. But I wonder, do we really think about it in terms of our relationship with God? That God loves us so much, he puts on charity to look beyond our faults, to look beyond some of the things, and he still supplies our need. I just want to encourage everybody, before you get mad at somebody else, ask God about where you are with him. And when God shows you the mercy he has for you, you're going to have plenty for them. Because you're going to realize, oh, except for the grace of God, there go I. Look at God, look at God, look at God. So put on charity. But then I want you to read that, which is what? The bond of perfection. And this bond, I want you to understand what this bond is. This bond is called the sudesmos. So it's the joint tie. It's like joints in your knees. In every part of the body, there's a joint. And in that joint, it's got ties that connect it. The knee can't work without the cartilage. And the ankle can't work. The foot can't work without the connection. Your arm can't work without the cartilage that ties it together. This is the bond. It's what? It's a uniting principle. It's a controlling principle that brings perfectness. That's what God does. He brings the perfectness in us because of what? He bonds us together. Jesus said, I'm going to infiltrate you through your heart, but out of your heart, I cover every part of your body. Blood flows through every part of your body. If the blood don't flow, it dies. Don't believe me? Tie a string around your finger. Don't do this or you're going to be in trouble. You tie a string around your finger, 3 weeks later, that finger going to shrivel up because you cut off the blood supply. Do the same with your foot, the same. That's why they talk about the blood circulation. But that's Jesus. When you cut off Jesus from a part of your life, that part begins to die. So if you got no love and no humility and no meekness and no forgiveness, that part begins to die. And when it begins to die, it means you don't even know how to enact it anymore. Somebody been wounded so long, you don't know nothing about forgiveness because you've been hurt and they're hurt and turned to stone. But can I tell you a secret? God can change the stone back to life. And understand what this completeness is. It says it's perfectness. Perfectness is the teleotes. The teleotes. It means completeness, not just physically, but mentally and morally. God gives us the moral compass to be able to walk. And so people will know that we are Christians, what? By our love. And so what is that? And the next slide, I just want to share one of the writers and one of the commentators that I listen, I like the way he wrote this on verse 17. He said, verse 17 means what? It's the beneficial influence produced by the indwelling word of Christ is not only to affect public and private worship, but is also to control what? All areas of a Christian's life. It's not just what you do when you come here. It's not just what you do when you go home and you're in your closet, but it's what? It's every area of your life. It's when you go to work. It's when you go to school. It's when you go grocery shopping. It's when you exercise. It's when you're planting the plant. Everything about you should be seen what? To the point of love of Christ. They can just see there's something about you. You different. I might not like the color of your skin, but there's something about you. This week I saw a wonderful story. A man that used to be a white supremacist. He was a racist. And there was a story on this man who's getting married to this black woman. And she said, I don't know what y'all used to know, but there ain't a racist bone in his body because he loves me. Now, yeah, he has separated from the white supremacist. Somewhere along the line, he came to God or came to himself that wasn't right. And now here he is. God said, you turned it around, you moved, and now I'm going to bless you. And folks, she crazy. No, she ain't crazy. She in love. You know what? Y'all call me crazy because I love Jesus, don't you? Only pastor, he always up there, he always crying. Yeah, guess what? Yeah, because I'm in love. And I know Jesus is in love with me. You get crazy. You just don't want to show it all the time. But sometimes you show your craziness too. Oh, hey, sell somebody. What's she dancing for? Hey, she loved Jesus. What they singing for? Yeah, they love Jesus. What they waving at? Yeah, they love Jesus. So guess what? So it's about what God wants. What God wants. So they will know. The world will know. Schaumburg, Hoffman Estates, wherever we go, they will know that we are Christians. What? By our love. Didn't we just see it in 2017? Folks who wouldn't speak, we planted a garden out of love. What? They started speaking to us. That's love. They know that we, oh, by the way, come on and get some. Man riding their bike. Oh, you can have, yeah, you can have some. He operated out of the world. He wanted the biggest and the best. That's okay. I'm going to let you take the biggest onions. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm going to put them on your grill. Go ahead. Because next time he come by, he can't say they didn't love me. They gave me the biggest and the best that they had. Because what? We want you to know that this is destiny. We love you. God loves you. And we begin to share. And I've come to tell you that this year, we need to let them know we are Christians by our love. Not just because we look so good. We dress up so well. Hey, let's get dirty if we have to. I'll come in here in rags and tow up shoes if I need to get somebody to come to Christ. Whatever it takes that they come to know the love of Jesus, let them come. That's what about. We're going to be doing some things. We're going to be giving more stuff away. We're going to provide it, and we're going to continue to grow. Why? Because they know we are Christians, what? By our love. Do they know about you? Do they know? Next slide, Sister Beverly. Let me just read the words. And go ahead and play that song. Go ahead and play that song. Say, we are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that one day, all unity will one day be restored. And they are what? No, we are Christians by our love. Go ahead and play it when you get it, Sister Beverly. Say what? All praise to the Father, from whom all blessings come. And all praise to Jesus Christ, God's only Son. And what? All praise to the Spirit that makes us all one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. And I chose this version because the pastor started speaking the first verse. But then this 10, 11-year-old boy
in the Spirit
sang the second verse.
We are one.
And hallelujah, Jesus. Lord. He know we are Christians by our love. Allow the Lord to minister to you. The world will know you're Christians by your love, your gentleness, your kindness. Are.